I ran across a passage that interested me, and I thought it would make a good message for our group here at Chatsworth. If you'll turn to Luke 11, the few thoughts I'd like to share with you this morning. I'm not supposed to mention my wife, so I can't tell you what she said. But she wondered about the title of this passage that I have entitled this little talk, The Unfinished Prayer. But if you look at Luke 11, 1, it came to pass that as he was praying, he's talking about Jesus, in a certain place, when he ceased praying, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. The Gospels frequently refer to the prayer life of Jesus, as you know, Luke particularly. Apparently, he was praying alone, out loud. Have you ever tried praying out loud? In your private prayers? If you ever have an opportunity to have a place where you can pray out loud, that's a good way to pray. It'll make it much more real to you, keep you from going to sleep. But Jesus prayed out loud, we can tell from different references. And so they came upon him, he was praying, and they were impressed by his prayers. And so when he finished, one of them said, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. This seems to suggest the time is probably after the death of John. Here was a man that trained for 30 years, John the Baptist. His actual service probably was no more than two or less than 2 years in and around about that. What would John have taught them to pray? There's no reference in the Bible as to any prayer that John ever prayed. But if you turn back in Luke chapter 1, where the angel is telling Zacharias about John. If you notice in verse 17, Gabriel told Zacharias that John shall go before him, that is the Messiah, in the spirit and the power of Elias, or Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people, what? Prepared for the Lord. So I could speculate that the prayers that John taught in those couple years of ministry was probably not some formal prayer. He probably taught them to pray for the conversion of Israel and the preparation of the hearts of the people for the advent of the Messiah. I think that's what he would have prayed. And this disciple is impressed. And so he asked Christ if he would teach them to pray. And so you have Christ's prayer in verses 2-4. So Christ responded, and he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And that's where the prayer ends. Where would you get this prayer again? Earlier, it's prayed in Matthew 6. Jesus gave in Matthew 6, 9-13, what we call the Lord's Prayer. That was the Sermon on the Mount. That was at the beginning of his ministry. But notice something about this prayer. What is it?
It omits something, the last phrase.
Yeah, it omits the last phrase. I would suggest this is an unfinished prayer. Now, you may quarrel with me over that, but I like to suggest this is an unfinished prayer. He doesn't finish it. What is interesting is that the earliest manuscript that we have, one of the oldest manuscripts we have, P75, we have a whole group, maybe 75 or 100, manuscripts of the New Testament on papyrus. Papyrus doesn't last long. Most of our manuscripts are on vellum or parchment, that type of thing. But we have some manuscripts of the New Testament on papyrus, and this manuscript, P75, is dated in the 200s. It's a very old manuscript, and it's interesting, and some modern Bibles pick this up. If anyone has a New International Version, does anyone have a new, okay. How does it read? Now, listen to Jane if she reads it. Yeah. When you have... No. Start at the beginning. Now, watch this. It's not our Father, just Father. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Period. That's all you have for addressing God. See how much is left out? Okay, now what's the next phrases?
Give us each day our daily bread.
Yeah, that's petition one.
Forgive us our sins. That's
petition two.
And then it's not the temptation that I have.
Period.
No.
That's the end of that. That's for that manuscript. So even if you went back to the oldest manuscript in the 200s, you only have a skeleton. What's happened, other manuscripts have filled it in, so you have that, but you don't still, it's still an unfinished prayer. Now, my question is, I'm not going to talk about prayer. I'm not going to talk about finished prayer or unfinished prayer. People would debate over that. My question is, Jesus apparently in his prayer just gives the basics. Acknowledge God. Request basic needs. And then you'll notice he had a reason for leaving it unfinished without a doxology or even in its briefer forms. And you'll notice if you look at carefully in your Bible, what's the next verse say? Let's look at verse 5. It's right part of this segment. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. My suggestion is, and I'm not here to argue with the scholars, that Jesus purposely prayed an unfinished prayer because he wanted to add another dimension to prayer. First dimension, acknowledging God. Second dimension, asking for, as a child of the Father, for our needs. Third dimension, what we're looking at right here. Asking, not for self, but for what? For others. Now you look at this story. Which of you have a friend, shall have a friend, shall go to him at midnight. That's not the ordinary time to go next door. Why does he go at midnight? I mean, people are sleeping at night. Why does he go at midnight? What's his point? Come on.
Urgency.
He's got an urgency. Someone has come from a long distance, some traveler, has come to his home, It's midnight, he's hungry, he's tired, and he has no, what? Nothing to provide for him. So he goes next door. He has a good friend next door. Who's there? John? What do you want, John? It's midnight. Oh, Joseph, I've got a visitor, I've got a traveler, a good friend of mine has just come. I have no food. I need help. Give me 3 loaves of bread. Go away, John. I'm not interested. I'm in bed. I got my children. We're all in bed. The door's locked. Come on, friend. I need food. Forget it. If I get up, the baby will wake up. Then my wife will be on my neck. Forget it. I need food. Now, why does the fellow finally get up and give him some bread? It's because he won't go away. He persists. And the children are probably awake by then too. But he finally gets up, and notice what Jesus says. He will not rise and give him, verse 8, because he is his friend. I won't do it because I'm your friend. He'll give it to him because of his importunity, his persistence to want bread, and I'm not leaving until I get it. Now you tell me something. Who is the man in the house with the children? That's God. You all agreed on that? And so, our dear Father hears our prayers because we knock. Selfish. I'll give you what you want, Holbrook, just so to keep you from knocking on my door. Is that it? Well, that you just told me that he's God. That is represented by the man in the bed. So God answers our prayers just to get rid of us. That's what he says. I'll give you the bread, not because I'm your friend, but to keep you from knocking at my door. Come on, tell me, what's he doing? Oh, I know it's according to his need. Well, let me say this, save our time because we're running out of time. It's by contrast. If the friend, the neighbor, will finally give bread because of the man's persistence, he doesn't really want to do it, but because of his persistence, not because of his friendship, but because of his persistence, how about God, who is our Father? Will he give us if we seek for it? How much more? I think this is the element that's unfinished in Jesus' prayer that he's adding. We acknowledge our Father. We ask for our humble needs. But this is another extension, asking for another. Beseeching God for the bread of heaven, so to speak. Asking for spiritual bread to feed another. What is Jesus adding to his unfinished prayer? He's adding this intercession. Ellen White's comment is interesting here. Souls that were hungering for the bread of life would come to the disciples, and they would feel themselves to be destitute and helpless. They must receive spiritual food, or they would have nothing to impart. They must not turn one soul away. Now, let me just insert something here. Let's see. 6 years ago, this last August, this group here, there were 13 people that met in that storefront. We started a brand Sabbath school because the conference wouldn't let us start anything else. That's right. We wanted to start a company. No. We want to start a church. No. But we won't stop you if you want to have a company. I mean, have a branch Sabbath school. 6 years ago, last August. Well, now, today, we're where we are in this little cat chapel here. But our interest in starting that company was not really to start a church at that point. It was to try to be a witness, to establish a constituency in Murray County that would be a permanent witness to this truth, to this faith. And we've had to approach it, and we still do approach it, more like a missionary outpost. You'll notice some things we don't do here that you would probably normally do in a church. We have yet to take up a Sabbath school offering, for example. We take up a 13th Sabbath. We've just started doing that, what, 2 quarters ago? Yeah. So, our basic point here, my basic point is here, that as the tendency to grow, and we're getting new people from other places, it's easy to grow inward. Elder Yule, it's easy for us to grow inward and say, well, what can we do for ourselves? When we've got to keep this key thought, we've got to be knocking. At the doors of heaven for spiritual bread to feed these people. Now, I listened to what Jane said this morning. I don't think I'm so different from what she's saying. We may have to use different methods. We may have to start in different ways, or we may have to keep all ways going. But folks, we cannot abandon what we had determined to do in the beginning, to be an outreach. To be an outpost. We've got to keep that foremost. The Ellen White makes a comment here that's interesting that has to do with this. Our mission to the world is not to serve or please ourselves. We are to glorify God by cooperating with Him to save sinners. We are to ask blessings from God that we may communicate to others. The capacity for receiving is preserved only by imparting. We cannot continue to receive heavenly treasure without communicating to those around us. This is a dimension of asking God for help, make it practical, to establish a real, true lighthouse that will win souls, that will save people from their sins and prepare them for the coming of Jesus. Now, go on down in the text, because you'll see what he has more to say. He hasn't finished. Look at verse 9. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock. You see that? And it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. And if you were to look at the Greek, it would say this: I say unto you, ask and keep on asking, and it shall be given you. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. And then he explains. Look at verse 11 and 12. If a son asks bread, and see, we're asking for bread. That's what the man in the story, he asked for bread to feed someone else. He's not asking for bread for himself. Keep the line of thought. He's asking for bread for somebody else. If a son asks bread of any of you but is a father, will he, the father, give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? a snake? Or if he shall ask an egg, will a father give him give the son a scorpion? And the answer would be what?
No.
Of course not, he wouldn't do that. Because that would be hurtful. And so he says that, verse 13, if ye then being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give, what? Now watch this. What? Give the Holy Spirit to them who ask him. So the bread that the man is asking is what? It's the bread of life, but he wants the presence of the Holy Spirit. I mean, that's the whole gift. If we have God's Spirit in our hearts and working in our church, in our company, then we'll touch people here. Whatever the method that we may use to reach them. But if the Spirit is not here, we'll just be sounding cymbals. You understand what I'm saying? The Holy Spirit's presence, he's the great life changer. He's got to change us. He's got to blend us. And he's got to work in our methodologies, whether it's through Bible studies, whether we approach through community methods. It's really, the community methods were really not a whole lot different from the old Dorcas Society, really. But we don't have Dorcas Society so much now, that we're using more of the agencies, and that's all right too. But ultimately, we want to do more than just help fill someone's stomach if we don't bring him any further than that. We can't abandon the pulpit for the activists, political activists or social activists altogether. We can't do that. We have to blend the two together. Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples. And Jesus has taught us to acknowledge the centrality of the Father in our lives, as children to feel free to make requests for our daily necessities, and finally to complete our prayers by asking persistently, asking for spiritual bread, asking for the Holy Spirit to meet the needs of those outside. And I hope as a people, as we grow, that we may not just think of this as a place where, well, it's just feed us, and forget that we have a mission here. If we do, this place will be empty. We have to have a mission to reach out. In closing, I'd like to have you turn to Matthew 20:28. Whatever our methods, and we have to pray that God will guide us in our methods. But this is what we've got to keep foremost. It's the way the Master was. Matthew 20:28. He says, if you pick it up in verse 27, and whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, notice, even as the Son of Man, Christ, came not to be ministered unto, but to what? But to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. That's got to be the key guideline of the Chatsworth group. It has to continue to be that key. Not to be ministered unto. It's nice to be here. And it's nice to have a nice place. There's nothing wrong in that. But let's not forget what our real goal is. Not to be in a cathedral, but to minister. It'd be nice if it were a cathedral. Maybe someday it will be. But if we ever lose the reason for being, we've lost the point. We've come not to be ministered unto so much as to minister and to prepare a people for the coming of Jesus. Loving Father, we thank thee for our Savior, for the pattern he has left us. We thank thee for the wonderful life that he lived among us and for his atoning death. And we do pray that thou will give us grace to live like he lived. And that to our prayers that acknowledge thee and to ask and also asking for our wants, that we not forget that there is that part to ask for the bread of life, for the Holy Spirit, that we might share with other folks. Lord, bless our little group here. We pray that we may be all of the light that we want to be for thee, that thou wouldst have us to be. Teach us, Lord, how to reach the people of this county, whichever way, whatever ways, but help us not to forget that we're here to serve and not to be served, that we're here to try to lift and not simply look for people to lift us. We pray, Father, for thy grace to make us stronger in thee. May the Holy Spirit bless in all the endeavors of this place and be with each of us according to our special needs, Lord, today. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.